Welcome to the Metro Show. This is where we talk about stuff going on in the community, maybe some organizations you might have an interest in, ways that you can help, volunteer, or go to a really fun event for a great cause, which we will be talking about today. But of course, there's always volunteer opportunities or ways for you to donate. And we're talking about a really great organization today. It's called Dogs for Our Brave. Dogs for Our Brave. And with us to talk about it is the founder, Andy Gladstein. Hi, Andy. Good morning.
Hi. How are you this morning?
I am great. I love the concept behind this organization. We're going to talk about a great event you guys have coming up in a couple of weeks. But just in case people aren't familiar with what you do, can you kind of just give us a little brief summary of what you do?
Sure. Our mission statement is to provide professionally trained service dogs and companion dogs at no cost to our veterans who've suffered debilitating injuries while in service of the country. But that basically means is we pay for all the food for life, all the pharmaceuticals for life, and all their veterinary care for life.
And we're going to get into more what you guys do, the programs that you provide, and how you train the dogs. You know, that you have an event coming up for people to support that. But I was just kind of reading on your website. It's dogsforourbrave.com if you want to check it out. That's their website. But it's the things that you train the dogs to do for these veterans, it's amazing, like opening doors and turning on and off lights.
Well, the interesting thing is, and the difficult thing at the same time, every veteran has a different need. So we have to pair the veteran with a specific dog. For instance, if it's a young lady who lost her leg, which we have, but she didn't weigh very much, she weighed 110 pounds, you can't give her an 80-pound lab mix.
Right.
You have to have a dog that will match to her. So when we pair our animals, our dogs, with our service people, and I have to say service people because I get in trouble when I say soldiers, because we have Air Force and Navy.
I didn't know that. Good. I hope I don't say it. I didn't know.
That's it just gets kind of fun when they're all together.
Right.
They look at me like, what do you mean, soldiers? We're the Navy. Okay. Anyway, so we train the dogs. For instance, we have one veteran who is completely wheelchair bound, so we had to have a dog that would pull his wheelchair.
Wow.
In addition to fetching, so if he drops his glasses, his keys, his wallet, our dogs have been trained, some of them, to pick up something as small as a dime. They have to be able to open doors. They have to be able to open refrigerators. We can teach them to dial 911.
Wow.
There's just a range of things, but some veterans don't need all those. So
right.
We have to tailor our training to the specific veteran.
And that's amazing. And again, we're going to talk more about it. The website, dogsforourbrave.com. But talk about the event that's going on in St. Louis in just a couple of weeks. This is a fundraising event, but it's also going to be a fun, entertaining time for anybody who goes.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be wonderful. Monique Marvez, she had a Showtime series at one time, is going to host it for us. It's stand-up comedy. Local comedian Tom Shelton will be opening for her. Tickets are available on metrotix.vp and general admission, but you better get the tickets quickly because we are getting close to being sold out.
And where is it again? Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. Zach on Locust.
Right?
Yeah.
October 27th, Zach on Locust Street.
So it's a night of comedy, pretty much. So you're going to have fun.
Right.
And
we'll have some silent auction items, some really fun silent auction items. We don't do the big auction deal at these things. We just let people enjoy themselves.
Yeah, that's cool. Also, you're going to have some veterans and some dogs there that night?
Oh, absolutely. We'll have at least two veterans with their dogs there, maybe three. And they'll get to meet the veterans. They'll be able to talk to them, see how the dogs have impacted their lives. Because people don't realize these dogs really save lives. That's a key for what we're doing. When I got into this, the number of veterans who are committing suicide every day is staggering. It's anywhere from 25 to 30 a day.
Jeez.
And people don't understand that. It's been really swept under the rug by the Veterans Administration because they don't want that bad rap.
Yeah, we don't hear about it that often.
No, not at all. So when they get a dog, a lot of them are shut-ins. They don't want to leave their homes. A lot of them have been injured, and they're physically not attractive. I'll use that term, and they're scared to go outside because they don't want people staring at them and pointing at them. So the dog deflects a lot of that when they go out with their dog. the dogs become their best friends, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, just from a companion and comfort point of view, I'm sure, as much as the daily functions that they help, but just that companionship.
Yeah, absolutely. And the dogs are so intuitive. It's really amazing. One of our soldiers, he is a soldier from the Marines, he's about to lose his left leg. They haven't amputated it yet, but they're about to. And he fell off a cliff, a 50-foot cliff, and broke his back.
Oh, my gosh.
In addition, he was shot once. He's been stabbed. And he'll come right out and tell you, these dogs, what they do for him specifically, it's unbelievable. We have veterans that, when they raise their voice, our dogs come up to them and make them pet them until the voice goes down. When they have a bad dream at night, the dog will jump on the bed and pull the covers off them to wake them up. Because they all have PTSD. Every soldier, every service person who's come back from the war on terror in Iraq and Afghanistan has some form of PTSD.
You know, and we never hear about that, but how timely. We didn't even plan this week. You know, Jason Kander just dropped out of the mayoral race for Kansas City saying he has PTSD,
right,
and he's getting treatment. I'm glad, you know, that he came out and said that. I'm glad that I'm having you on this week. That was just by chance. But yeah, we don't hear about these stories. We don't realize how important organizations like yours are to these veterans and their healing process.
Oh, it's unbelievable. We literally know. They have a phrase. A lot of these wonderful veterans have a phrase. It's called eating a bullet. And it's not a very nice thing to hear. But they'll tell you they were very close to doing that before they got their dog. And the dog has saved their life. He's become their best friend. He goes everywhere with them, whether it's a grocery store, a movie theater, a restaurant. There's no place that their dogs don't go. Absolutely no place. And that's by law, by the way. They cannot be denied entrance anywhere with a service dog. So it's pretty amazing how these dogs impact these soldiers' lives and these veterans' lives.
Again, the website is dogs4ourbrave.com. That's the name of the organization, Dogs for Our Brave. If you're just joining us, we're talking to you, Andy Gladstein. He is the founder of this organization. Are you military? Are you a veteran? Or how did this come about?
You know, I'm not a veteran. I was deferred when I first became of age. The organization came about. I was in Coronado, California, talking with a Navy SEAL who was a Navy Cross winner, which is pretty much the highest award you can get in the Navy. And I was asking him, what did he think I should get my wife for an anniversary present? And he said, get a dog, have it trained for a soldier or a service person that's lost their limbs in the war on terror. And I was looking at him like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, like you're thinking diamonds, flowers.
Exactly. He said, no, it'll be the greatest gift she's ever gotten.
Wow.
So I did it. We had a great dog named Champ trained for Sergeant Andrew Smith, who was a double amputee. Champ opens doors for him. When, unfortunately, these guys, a lot of them who were double amputees, legs down, they have prosthetic legs, and they have to take the legs off at night and charge them, because a lot of them are bionic.
Okay.
So when you get in bed and you have no legs on and you left the light on in your room, nothing you can do without putting your legs back on and getting up and turning the light off. So one of the things we did with Champ is make sure he could turn light switches on and off. So Andrew gives him the command, if he forgets to turn the light off, Champ, and the dog will go over and turn the light off.
That's just amazing. So yeah. So coming out of that conversation and giving your wife that anniversary gift, this is how your organization was founded?
Absolutely.
Wow.
A lot of my friends said, hey, I want to do the same thing. How do I do it? So I kind of said, well, you know, this is kind of a cool thing. It's on the top of everybody's mind because everybody's talking about Afghanistan and Iraq. It's just ongoing. But the good news is, of course, with the injuries going down in Afghanistan, we're getting less and less soldiers who've lost limbs. But that doesn't stop the PTSD part of it and TBI. And TBI, by the way, is traumatic brain injury. And all these guys have it. So a lot of them come back, and they're in trouble. They can't go out and function in society. They can't get jobs. They're shut-ins. They stay in their house 24/7. And our mission is going to be to help knock that 25 to 30 a day down. Of course, we can't do it for everybody, but we're going to do it for as many as we can.
And, of course, you, again, provide these dogs for free with the support, covers all the food, the vet, the training of the dog. So, obviously, that's where your, you know, the public's help comes in by either donating or this event that we talked about, October 27th. It's at Zach on Locust. Tickets are available at MetroTix. But if you just go to the, I think go to your website to get all the info, and then you can get through the event that way, right?
Right.
That'd probably be easier. DogsForOurBrave.com. And it's a night of comedy, but the proceeds going to this mission, right?
Correct. All the proceeds go... No, we don't pay salaries. We have everybody's is pretty much a volunteer. But when you take the situation where a guy or a lady comes back from the war on terror and they've been away for 6 months, 9 months, for a year and a half, and they don't have a job, they might have a family that they have to feed and pay rent for, and a lot of them get these wonderful dogs from other organizations. But then it's, thank you very much, we're going on to the next dog. They don't realize if they can't pay their rent and the dog gets sick, what happens? Who suffers? Does he not buy food for his family, or does he take the dog to the vet? Does he not pay rent, or does he take the dog to the vet if there's a problem? So you put the service person in a really bad position where they have a wonderfully trained animal and the animal's going to get sick or something's going to happen. So we decided, let's just take all that away from them. Let's not have them not worry about anything. And we're going to pay for everything.
For the life of the dog. Wow.
Yeah, for the life of the dog. So it's the pharmaceuticals, which, you know, it's the flea and tick and heartworm. But people don't think that those are expensive. In the long run, they're very expensive. And veterinary care for a dog, the American Kennel Club said it runs about $20,000 to $25,000 for the life of the dog. So we have our veterinarian... partners. Patterson is a veterinary distributor, and they've been absolutely wonderful helping us. And we just have some great, great partnerships with people to make sure these guys don't have any burden whatsoever when they get an animal from us.
That's just phenomenal. So if you want to donate, you can do it via their website, dogsforourbrave.com. Or if you want to have a fun night out, you can go to their night of comedy. Monique Marvez, she's a Showtime comedian. She's going to host the stand-up night. And then you're also going to have veterans there and service dogs, so people can actually see some of the veterans you've paired dogs with, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you'll see that it's really a love affair. These dogs look up to the veteran whenever they're moving or walking, and they're always wanting to please them. That's what our dogs do. They want to please. And the way they do that is by being well-trained and being able to notice if the veteran is in distress, if they raise their voice, if they're getting angry, the dogs just instinctively go up to them and basically say, hey, we're gonna take this down a couple notches. And they force them to pet them until their voice goes down. And it's pretty remarkable.
It is. I've just been looking on your website, and your website's remarkable. There is a video, but we only have a couple of minutes left, but I want people to go on your site under, if you go to dogsforourbrave.com, under our story, there's a video. Did one of the veterans get a dog at the Cardinals game?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I see this video here, and I'm like itching to press play, but I can't right now. So,
well, it's interesting. We had a veteran, Chris Roseberry, who's one of our outreach coordinators now, coincidentally. And we said, hey, would you like to throw the first pitch out at the St. Louis Cardinals game? And he's a big Cardinals fan. He said, ow, are you kidding? So he came in town, had no idea the real reason he was coming in town. And he actually had me go to the sporting goods store with him and play catcher so he could throw the ball to me to make sure he didn't embarrass himself. So we went to, I think, Dick's Sporting Goods and sat in the store and threw the ball back and forth for 20 minutes. But what he didn't know was...
He was getting the dog.
In front of 40,000 people.
Oh, my God.
He got the dog, and there was tears everywhere. He was just thrilled. And it was so well done by the Cardinals. We have so much appreciation for what they've done to us.
Yeah, that video's on their site. I'm like watching this at the minute we hang up. Dogs4OurBrave.com is the website. They have an event October 27th. It's at Zach on Locust Street, a night of comedy. So check out that. Or if you just want to donate, you can do it right straight from their website. Dogs4OurBrave.com. The founder, Andy Gladstein, thank you so much for talking with us. And it's just a great organization. Anytime you guys are doing something here, let me know. I'd love to have you back on.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. And please, this is going to be a great night of comedy. If you're a comedy lover, don't miss this one. It's going to be fantastic.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you so much.
And for the second half of the show, we are talking about the Miriam Foundation. You'll learn all about it. They do have an open house coming up. But this morning, we're talking to the executive director, Andy Thorpe. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to talk about this. So we know you have an open house coming up, which we'll hit in just a second. But if people have not heard about you guys before, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so Miriam is really focused on helping kids, students that with unique learning needs. You know, the organization's been around for over 100 years, but over the last 60 years, really focused on kids that really need a different environment in which to learn. So we have three programs. People are most familiar with Miriam School. We're in Webster Groves. We serve students from pre-K through 8th grade. We just launched high school a couple years ago called Miriam Academy, and obviously that serves freshmen through seniors. And then we have the Miriam Learning Center for students who want to stay in their traditional classroom, traditional school, but need extra help, whether that be tutoring, occupational therapy, speech therapy, those kinds of things. So we've been in this business of helping kids for 60-plus years. The organization goes way back, and they've always been involved in helping the community, not always helping kids, but in a variety of different ways over those 100 years.
And I was reading just a little bit about the school, and the kids there go there are sometimes above, you know, average intelligence. It's maybe just like the social aspect of it. Is that?
Yeah, right. Sometimes that's the case. And yeah, we have kids who are of average to above average intelligence, and sometimes, you know, they'd be maybe off the charts smart in one area, but struggle in another area. You know, they may be great in math, struggle with English. We also have kids with who, you know, I like to think about it as kids that just can't be successful in the traditional environment. They really learn differently. So the smaller classrooms that we have all of our teachers are special ed certified. And for some of our kids, we have kids on the autism spectrum, so they have some needs around speech and occupational therapy. So those are the things that we can provide that most public schools may not have the resources to provide. So in the Miriam School, we serve about 100 kids. The academy, we have about 50, and we're growing.
So the school is pre-K through 8th, and then the academy is high school?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
I just want to plug the website one time before, miriamstl.org. But I was looking at the Learning Center, too. So how is that different from the school and the academy?
Yeah, so the Learning Center, we knew we had a lot of expertise. We knew a lot of students really wanted to stay in their traditional environment, in their local school, but needed help, whether it be with tutoring or maybe it's occupational therapy, or maybe they need testing done to determine if they have a learning disability. So we serve over 1,000 students a year in the community through the Learning Center.
Got it.
Oftentimes, we go into schools and provide whatever the school needs in terms of the services we can provide. It's really expanded who we can help through that program.
And as far as, you know, people listening to this and about the Miriam Foundation, where would their interest lie? You know, just the average person, like, you know, the support that they can give you, you know, how does that factor in?
Yeah, so an important role of the foundation is for providing support for families who can't afford our tuition. So we raise a lot of money every year through our annual fund to help make our education more accessible for families. So we provide over $1 million in tuition assistance every year for our families at the Miriam School and Miriam Academy. And we do that through our fundraising and through the Switching Post, which is our retail shop. Each year we raise $450,000 through that retail shop. We have a couple full-time staff, but the rest of it is volunteers. So, and that website is MiriamSwitchingPost.org. And if people are looking to donate furniture or looking for some great deals on quality furniture, Switching Post is a great place to go. So that's another role that the foundation plays, is raising money.
Yeah, I just heard about this Miriam Switching Post. So it's a resale store in Brentwood, right?
Yeah, it's great. We moved into a much bigger location about 3 years ago, and people donate furniture to us. They may be downsizing, or they may be redoing their living room. They may have lost a parent, and they're trying to figure out what to do with their parents' house and the contents of that house. And they look to us as a way to give back and also get a tax deduction for it.
So it's just used furniture and household items, correct, that you would
absolutely
like, that people can drop off or come and chat?
Yeah, absolutely. You never know what you're going to find, because every day there's something new.
Right.
We never know what we're going to get from donors. Sometimes it's very unique stuff, and sometimes you can find a real steal.
Well, people are so creative now to repurpose things. And, if you have a kid going off to college to do a dorm room or something, it's always great to find, these little unique things at the resale shops. I always think it's good for that.
Yeah, we also get dealers come through who maybe stage a house somewhere. They'll come to us.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really an incredible place.
Yeah, that's great. So that's on your website as well, MiriamSTL.org?
Yeah, and it's also MiriamSwitchingPost.org if they want to go directly to that website
to see what you guys accept. That would be good. Let's quickly talk about, we'll kind of bounce back and forth here.
Sure.
About your open house coming up.
Yeah, so we're still enrolling in both of our schools, both the high school and the elementary middle school, and that is on November 4th. That's a Sunday. From 1 to 3, and that's at both schools, both the Miriam School and Miriam Academy. But they're in different locations, so not to be confused. Miriam School is at Webster Groves, 501 Bacon Avenue. And then Miriam Academy is in West County on Ballas Road. And people can get those directions from our website, MiriamSTL.org. And we'll have tours. We'll be able to meet the head of school, some of the teachers. We'll also have alumni and students on hand to answer questions. But this is sort of the time of year when parents may be recognizing that their current school environment isn't working. And this can be a great alternative for families who, their child is struggling. And it may not be the right place, and Miriam could be the place where they can succeed and be more successful. But we'd like to think that, we have families who, children who come in who are really sort of beaten down because they haven't been able to learn. Miriam is really the place where they can gain confidence again, learn, feel good about themselves, and learn to advocate for themselves, learn about their strengths as opposed to feeling like they're not good at stuff. So Miriam School and Miriam Academy are great places for that. And, sometimes people find us in 9th or 10th grade. That the transition to high school has been really tough. Their local high school is too big, or their classrooms are too big, or they're struggling and socially they just don't want, they're not fitting in. Miriam Academy can be a great place to for them to feel like they can succeed again.
And again,
so November 4th.
Yeah.
We'll be able to showcase those things.
So for the open house, you have them at both the school and the academy. Do people just show up, or do they need to call ahead or anything?
They can just show up. Right, just show up.
And what's the time on that?
Yeah, that is from 1, from 1 to 3.
Okay, great.
On November 4th.
And also, we talked about it earlier when we started the Miriam Foundation. If this sounds like something that works for your kids or your family, mm-hmm. They do offer assistance for families that need financial help, and that's kind of where the donations come in and the raising of the money and why exactly. We can support the Miriam Foundation. So if there is a family out there, you know, listening, going, gosh, this is for me, but I don't know if I can swing it, and you can sit down and talk with them and have a conversation.
Yeah, so that we, right, and they may get sticker shock when they see how much it costs, because it is expensive to provide the level of services we provide. But we go through and evaluate finances, and, you know, we will only ask them to pay what they can afford. So they go through a process and enter in their financial information, and we call it variable tuition, because no one necessarily pays the same amount. It really depends on how much their finances show they can afford. And I don't think there's another school, unless they're free, a private school in the area, that provides as much as we do. In terms of assistance, because it's always been our mission. It's been our mission, and the fact that there's a foundation here whose primary goal is to support the programs is pretty unique, I think.
You had some exciting things happen recently, didn't you?
Yeah, so we wrapped up we had a major capital campaign that we just wrapped up, a $10 million campaign, that we added a new middle school wing to our K through 8th grade. The classrooms had really been too small for those big 7th and 8th graders, so we added 4 new classrooms and 12,000 square feet and renovated the whole school. That school hadn't been renovated since the early 90s, and while it looked good, it needed a little bit of an upgrade. So everything is new, with smart boards in every room, every classroom. It looks great. We're so excited to show it off on the 4th. Another big part of it was to start the high school. You know, we had some... raise money to operate the first 5 years, and then by that point we'll be a self-sustaining school. And then for another $3 million endowment for tuition assistance. So that will always be there, helping kids from Miriam Academy afford our services. So that was a big deal for us to be able to do both of those things in the last couple of years.
Do you find, I mean, it did... Your service is needed more and more each year.
It does seem that way. It absolutely does. And I think these challenges were probably always out there.
Yeah.
They were just less diagnosed. So that kid who didn't seem to fit in or was really struggling in school might have been a kid who just had some kind of learning disability or a reading challenge or something like that. We're also seeing other schools, which is great, do more to accommodate kids who learn differently.
Right.
And we're seeing that more and more.
I think, though, too, like you said, yeah. Like it's okay to talk about it now, whereas before maybe kids or parents didn't want the stigma of their child needing a little bit of extra help.
Right. We've come a long way in that.
Yeah.
Even since I've been in this job, it's a little bit over a decade. That has really changed. You know, there's still some sensitivity to it. You know, our kids and parents want to feel like they're going to just a school, right? They don't
right.
care.
Right.
And it feels like a regular school when we walk in. You know, regular classrooms, we have, you know, sports and academics and all that, but it's just a little more intensive in terms of their needs.
Miriam,
go ahead.
MiriamSTL.org is the website where you can find out more about the Miriam School, which is pre-K through 8th, Miriam Academy, which is high school, and then the Miriam Learning Center, which would be maybe like an after-school type thing?
Yeah, after-school, and if families need just a need tutoring or a specific service, the Miriam Learning Center can offer that.
And again, just we have a couple minutes left. Let's talk about the open house again, just in case anyone's just joining us, like when it is and what people can get and the time and all that stuff.
Yeah, so it's Sunday, November 4th from 1 to 3. And there are two locations. One open house is at Miriam Academy, and the other one is at our Miriam School, the Academy, two separate locations. So we've had people who wanted to see the Academy go to the school, so we want to try to avoid that confusion. So high school students go to the Academy, which is on Ballas Road, and then school in Webster Groves.
And the
We've
best.
Had a lot of interest in the past, and we hope we're happening again.
Yeah, 1 to 3 on Sunday, November 4th. And if you need the address to make sure you're going to the right place, just go on their website at miriamstl.org. And then don't forget about the Miriam switching post. If you have some gently used furniture or household items, you can donate, or you can also shop there for that kind of stuff. So
right. And all those resources and all that work go to our families.
The executive director of the Miriam Foundation, Andy Thorpe, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Metro Show.